We pray for the Jews. We bless the Jews. Because those that bless the Jewish people, they'll be blessed. That goes back to Genesis. I still believe it. You say, well, preacher, there's terrible things going on there. Well, you know, the whole world was condemning us for going into Afghanistan as well. There's times that you have to do what you have to do for security in a nation. And there's times that even though things are wrong, that you may feel the wrong, there's certain positions of authority God gives, and He says you never lay your hand to that position of authority because it's the office that God has given those group of people or that individual or that nation. And we know that Israel is certainly the apple of God's eye. And we want to pray for the Jews, pray for the peace of Jerusalem, but in like manner, never jump on the bandwagon that is a terrible thing. And let me just say this too. I, for one, am getting a little bit sick and tired of hearing how peaceful the Islamic religion is. It is not a peaceful religion. From the Quran, when a jihad is called, it is called to destroy Christians, and Jews are the main target. And there's nothing peaceful about it. You say, well, I've got Islamic friends and they don't feel that way. Well, we've got a lot of people call themselves Christians that don't know what the book says. But the true book of the Quran teaches holy war. And we are the enemy. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to bless that bunch. They're out to get us. They hate what we believe. They hate what we stand on. I'm not militant against them, but I cannot lay my hand of blessing to them. They are anti-God. Their God is Allah. My God is the true and the living God. And I'll stand like Elijah on the Mount of Carmel and say there is but one God that can answer by fire. And He's still on the throne. He'll still help us. I don't have to worry about all these others chasing other religions that will bring them no peace. We have what the world is looking for. And we ought to tell them that we have the answer for the trouble that they're in. And the answer is not in me. It's not in this church. The answer is in the true and the living God. So it's troublesome times. Folks are concerned about all things. What are we going to do? Then it dawned on me, the passages of Scripture through the Word of God that deals with taking the shoe off. I couldn't understand it. In fact, one night, and it's a big task for me to put my shoes on and take them off. I'm glad some of you honest too. But I was taking my shoes off and it kept running through my mind. I know Deuteronomy 25:9 talks about if a brother dies, that his brother is to take his wife and raise up seed and to confirm that. If he refuses to do that, and refuses to raise up the seed, he's to take his shoe off, and the widow is to spit in his face, and his house is to be called the house of the one that would not loose his shoe. Boaz came to the next and nearest kinsman redeemer, wanting to redeem Naomi's property, and Boaz met in the 4th chapter with the nearest kinsman, and the nearest kinsman said, she's a Moabite. Now that's of importance, you see, because the Moabites, back from the teachings of Deuteronomy 23, under the 10th generation, they could not go into the house of God. So from the time the law was written, 10 generations had to pass. They were considered unclean. 10 generations had to pass before a Moabite could come into the congregation of God. And he said, this would mar my family name. No longer could he go to worship. He said, I don't want anything to do with that. And Boaz says, I want the right to redeem. So the nearest kinsman takes his shoe off, gives it to Boaz in the presence of the elders, and the right to redeem is shifted from the nearest kinsman to the kinsman Boaz, who redeems all that was Naomi's and takes Ruth to be his wife. Then there is that passage that we know in Exodus 3:5, when God speaks to Moses in a burning bush. And he says, put thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place where thou art standing is holy ground. Then the final passage was Joshua chapter 5. In the 15th verse, the captain of the host, which is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, as they get ready to go into Jericho, before they go into Jericho, the captain of the host speaks to Joshua and says, "Put thy shoe from off thy feet." He says, "Shoe, not shoes." Evidently, he already had one off. There's people that just want half the glory of God, not all of it. He had one off, but one on, and he said, "Take off the shoe." And when he did, he said, "The place you're standing is holy ground." Now, I've heard that preached. We face all these things. And you say, what is the correlation between what we're facing and that? Well, I hope to tell you what the correlation is today. I know a lot of things that's happened we brought on ourselves. Melvin Williams sent me through an email months ago, and I just thought it was something else when I read it. You listen to this, if you will. Regarding job layoffs in the U.S., Joe Smith started the day early, having set his alarm clock, which was made in Japan, for 6 a.m. While his coffee pot, made in China, was perking. He shaved with his electric razor, which was made in Hong Kong. He put on his dress shirt, which was made in Sri Lanka, designer jeans, which were made in Singapore, and tennis shoes made in Korea. After cooking his breakfast in his new electric skillet made in India, he sat down with his calculator made in Mexico to see how much money he'd have left over to spend today. After setting his watch made in Taiwan to the radio made in Romania, he got in his car made in Germany and continued his search for a good-paying American job. At the end of yet another discouraging and fruitless day, Joe decided to relax for a while. So he put on sandals made in Brazil, turned on his TV made in Indonesia, and then wondered why he can't find a good paying job in America. It's about where we're at, isn't it? I'm not condemning the other nations of the world. I know we brought on a lot of it. A lot of it is because Americans are lazy. They won't work. You don't believe that? Just start a business. You'll find out how hard it is to find folks that'll work. Show up on time, an honest day's work for an honest day's pay. Work is not punishment. Where did we get that idea? Now, I didn't say you had to love work. Yesterday, I made the terrible mistake last week before I left of promising my wife I would help her yesterday. All night long, I heard that glorious rain falling. And the weather forecast said rain all day long. I thought, hey, we've got this lick. Swap days, it always rains swap days. You all know that. Something about swap days, it's a magnet to rain. I thought, so it's going to rain all day, I won't have to do a thing. Guess what? The clouds rolled back. And yesterday, she said, "You're mine, big boy." 60 bags of mulch later, I'm crawling to the house saying, "Lord, help me. I'll never be able to preach three times tomorrow." Thank God for Excedrin that takes the aches and pains away. But it's hard to find folks to work. And even though you don't love it, you feel good about what you do. If you do your best and you work hard, God blesses that. But it's hard to find folks that will work. But we've got a lot of dilemmas, and it's not going to get any better. Because the real problem is God in our country, in our lives, in our home, is not where He ought to be. Now, this is the thought that occurred to me. Lord, we're facing so many things. And time again, You told people to take their shoe off. Take their shoe off if they're not going to raise seed. Take their shoe off if they're not going to redeem what's rightfully theirs. Take their shoe off if they're getting ready to go out and face some battles and struggles as Joshua was. Take your shoes off if you want to really be used as a leader of God, which God was getting ready to raise Moses up. And by the way, he was in that wilderness for 40 years. to get Egypt out of Moses. Did you get that? 40 years he was there because he knew the language of the Egyptians, the culture of the Egyptians. And after 40 years, that's when God moved and said, now it's time to go. Those that would kill you, they're dead now. You can go and take your rightful place. But it took 40 years to get his shoes off. Now, if I was to ask you the question, why did God have them take their shoe off? Well, my immediate response was, well, Joshua and Moses, they were standing on holy ground. That's true. I have no doubt about that. But it's the other two passages that really gives the significance of what's happening. When the nearest kinsman took his shoe off, Boaz, which was a type of our kinsman redeemer, Jesus Christ, put the shoe on. That's the way it happened. In other words, he said, if you're not going to walk in your shoes, oh, thank God, I'll walk in your shoes. Boaz had no idea what the future held as a kinsman. But if I counted properly, you know, from Boaz, when Ruth and Boaz gave birth, they gave birth to Obed. Obed gave birth to Jesse. Jesse gave birth to the King David. Do you know that they had anointed the first king, Saul, out of the tribe of Benjamin. But now comes David out of the tribe of Judah, which was the tribe Christ was to come from. And he goes and anoints David to be king. How can that be? Because David, his great-grandmother, was a Moabite. If you count properly, from the time of Moses until the time of David, exactly 10 generations pass. And the Moabites could not enter the congregation until the 10th generation. Just a coincidence? I don't think so. God was preparing a way to say, listen, I'm putting this all together. You're not the right one. I'm going to move through the rightful kinsman. He'll get in the shoe and he'll do something. Then you have, of course, the fact of the two prophets of leadership. They take their shoes off. Why? You ready? Here's why. When they took their shoes off, it was not only the fact they were standing on holy ground. Listen, God could not get into their shoes until they took their shoes off. And that's what I'm preaching on this morning, when God gets in your shoes. Oh, glory, glory, glory. We fight so many battles and do so many things when really what we ought to be doing is taking our shoes off and saying, Lord, you can walk where I can't walk. You can win when I can't win. You can raise up seed when I can't raise up seed. You've got that lost loved one that's wayward and gone astray, and you've tried to reach them and win them, and you can't seem to soften them anyway. You know what you ought to do today? You ought to spiritually take your shoes off and say, listen, I'm not the kinsman redeemer. You're the kinsman redeemer. And if you get in my shoes, I know that there's a way that you can get a hold of them. I know that there's a way that you can reach my lost loved ones. I know that there's a way that you can raise up the seed in the family of God, that they can be born again. I tell you what we ought to do. We ought to quit trying to save them and let God save them and let God get in our shoes. Amen. When we get to that place that we're fighting battles, that we don't know what to do and we don't know where to turn, I don't care if it's sickness or loss of job. Don't you understand God is never shaken by anything? But as long as we're walking in our shoes, we've got a problem. But when we can get our shoes off and get God in our shoes, then God can do things that we could never do. The thing is that we're keeping God out of the equation many times. And folks, I'm not shook up in the least about any of these things. Someone said, preacher, aren't you worried about what's happening in the Middle East? Oh, no. I think God's just taking His rightful place. And just any moment, any time, the Lord could call us and we could around to make sure that God's walking in your shoes.
Amen.
Only way to get your shoes off, you got to bend down. Picture of humility. I think it would do us all good if we could somehow, some way, get to the place where that we could humble ourselves enough in the days to come that somewhere in the privacy of our home we'd bend down on our knees and take our shoes off and pray to God in heaven and say, Lord, I'm tired of walking my way. I'm tired of doing it the way I think and the way that looks right. I tell you what I want, Lord. I want you to do the walking for me. I want you to fill my shoes. I want you to go before me. I want you to lead the way. I want you to help me. I want you to get inside my shoes and go the places I cannot go. Don't you understand? There's places that we cannot reach. But God can always reach there. He's not limited by time, nor space, nor worlds, nor anything else. God says that He'll lead us and He'll help us if we just let God get in our shoes. That's hard to do. Sometimes He may go a different way than what we want. He may lead in a different direction than what we think. The important thing is it's not what I think or you think. It's the fact that we're going God's way. We have a number of folks here in our church that for many, many years they were faithful to other churches. Things happen. I wish things didn't happen like they do, but they do. Churches lose vision. Churches die. I'm still preaching to you this morning. Now, God doesn't bless this church because of the name over our door. God blesses this church, and He will bless it as long as we let God be in our shoes. But the day somebody else gets in God's shoes and does God's job, that'll be the day this church will die or any other church will die. Doesn't matter if the preacher gets in God's shoes or the people get in God's shoes. Somebody told me the other day, said, you know, we're getting ready to have a vote on our preacher. Pray for us. And I said, do you want me to pray that God's will be done or you get what you want? Hey, I a lot of these folks, I travel a lot. A lot of times they have good preachers and good leaders, and somehow they've been taught and they think that you can vote a problem out. You can't vote problems out. A church will only thrive if God is in our shoes. Help will only come if God is in our shoes. If He doesn't get in our shoes, nothing else matters, folks. It's not what we want. It's what God wants. Greatest day in our life is the day that we'll die out to self-will and self-desires and take on what God has for us. That's a hard thing to do. That might mean that we'll have to take a lesser paying job for a while. That might mean we'll have to work harder than we've ever worked for less money. That might mean that we'll have to wait a little while before the healing of God comes so that God can use us as a witness to others. That may mean that we have a lot of sleepless nights. But folks, you rest assured, when God's in your shoes, there's no way you're going to lose the battle in the end. Now, I don't know how to get to heaven, but the Lord knows the way. So the best thing I can do is let Him, glory to God, let Him get in my shoes and show me the way. And if He shows us the way, it'll be all right. Humility. There is a strange move of God in our church right now, whether you've sensed it or not. When folks start standing up confessing their faults, coming to altars and praying about their faults, and they're not trying to do it to impress anyone, they're trying to do it to get God in their shoes. When those kind of things start happening, watch out, folks. Watch out. God's getting ready to do something big. Bigger than we could ever imagine. But if we don't let God work through us and in us and walk in our shoes, all we're going to do is just have a 24/7 relationship with God, that we maintain status quo and we never move up higher and we never see loved ones get saved. Hey, what if God spoke to your heart like He did that old boy the other night in the middle of an invitation and said, go down the road to your cousin's house, your brother's house, your sister's house, and tell them, come on up. Something's happening up there at that church. You've got to see it. You know, very seldom does God move the way I think that He's going to move. But I know one thing. When God gets in your shoes, it'll be all right. Our country, and I'm not being cruel, I hope you'll hear me, our country needs a good humbling experience. We're too high, we're too mighty, we're too lofty. Our ideas supersede all the ideas that God has ever set. Tough times might come. But you look at your preacher. I'm not shook up about it in the least. Why? Because I'm begging God to fill my shoes. We ask God to do that. That's what He'll do. Some of you that's having problems in your homes and in your life, you need to get to the place where you can take your shoes off and say, God, fill my shoes. Fill my shoes. When God gets in your shoes, things will happen. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed, the church is praying.